So tonight, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about four priorities that we've been highlighting over the last month or so in our Sunday morning services. My fear is that I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I do think it's good for us to consider these four areas because they're important for all of us as believers, they're important for us as a church, and those four priorities are, because I'm going to jump right into this here, it's corporate worship, faithfully attend and participate in Sunday morning and evening services, gathering with the body, church relationships, purposely seek out and invest in the lives of other members of the church outside of Sundays, learning opportunities, regularly take advantage of biblical education offered through the church, growing in their faith, and the fourth is serving opportunities, actively serve the church through praying, volunteering, giving, evangelizing, etc. And yes, the elders came up with these four priorities, and yes, there's other things that are important that the Bible refers to, but I think we felt that these particular four areas are areas that need to be a growing mindset for all of us. And that includes us, even as elders, as well. And so we're not going after this just because it's not important just because we say so. It's important because I think the Bible says so. The Bible is obviously our final authority in what we do, what we think, what the church does. And so my task this evening is to give you a biblical basis for each of these, and in doing so, trusting that God will use His Word to motivate us to take initiative to actually live these things out. So, if I can just say, all four of those things come under the goal of a very simple objective, and that is, our great desire is that every member of Rothbury Community Church will be moving to the right. And by moving to the right, we're not talking about a political affiliation, but what we're talking about here is that we are all growing in our relationship with the Lord. We're all becoming more Christ-like. We're all becoming more godly. I think we all want that, right? But I think you know as well as I do that those things and that great objective doesn't just happen by accident. And just like anything else, we have to make certain that certain things are priorities, or we need to make certain to maybe reshift priorities to make them where they should be. Sometimes we have to stop doing some things in order to do other things. Sometimes we need to make sure that the temporary is not superseding the eternal. And yet it's so easy, isn't it, to find ourselves in those places where the important things are really not the important things. And so, honestly, each of these points probably should have been laid out as a separate message, but I have about 25 minutes to speak on all of them, and so here we go. Corporate worship. Why is corporate worship important? I think, for one, corporate worship in the minds of a lot of Christians today has become an optional thing. If I feel like it or if I want to, I do. But if you look at Scripture, we're actually expected and commanded by God to gather together as a body. And I think the passage that speaks to this strongest is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. It says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." And then he sets the context as to how or where we do that. It says, "Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some," okay, and that's no different, I guess, back then as it is today, "but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And I think if you were to search through the New Testament, and if you were to read through the book of Acts, I think what you'll find is that the New Testament church was doing just that. They were committed. They were tangibly committed to one another and gathering together consistently. Going back to the verse we've often referred to in our evening services over the last number of years, Acts 2:42, it says, "They devoted themselves, they committed themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. All of that taking place within the context of the local church. See, the Christian life was never meant to be lived independently of each other. And I think so often we sometimes think we can do that. But that is why the church is always described, not in the singular, but it's always described in the plural. And the analogies that Scripture gives us, for example, the body, or the flock, or a building, or a holy nation, all of that is in plural. I mentioned this, I think, when I kind of did an abbreviated announcement on it a number of weeks ago, but we have over 400 people that would call Rothery Community Church their church home. And yet on most given Sundays, give or take, whatever that may look like, approximately 25% of the body is missing. And again, I recognize that some of that's legitimate, and some are traveling, and some are ill, and some are, you know, in homes and physically can't get out, and those kinds of things. But on the other hand, I think often there's a lot of reasons why we're not here that aren't very good reasons at all. And I'm not going to spend time going through all of that tonight, but I think you know what those probably look like. I was just thinking, if a quarter of my body decided to not cooperate with the other three quarters of my body, I don't think I'd be in very good shape. I think at the least we would say that's not a very healthy body. And so our Sunday gatherings should be a priority because God calls us to come together. God calls us to be under the preaching of His Word. He calls us to worship Him together. He calls us to fellowship with one another. He calls us to celebrate the gospel together at the Lord's table. All of those things He calls us to do corporately as a body. And I think when we do that and when we're obedient to that, we demonstrate that we are God's redeemed people. We demonstrate that analogy of being the body. And that's what we're called to do. I think we would all agree that we are to love the things that Jesus loves. I'm not sure if I'd find much of an argument there, would I? But have we, and how often do we think of the fact that Jesus loves His bride, the church? And therefore, if He loves the church, we're to also love the church. And we're to love the church even with its flaws. We're to be committed to the church even though there are maybe some in the church body that frustrate us. But listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, but he's using that as an example of something even greater, and that is, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that he might be holy, or she might be holy and blameless, or without blemish. Hey, that's a beautiful description of how passionate Jesus is about the church and how much he loves the church. And we're to love the church the same way. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 says, "We know that we have passed out of death into life." In other words, we know that you're a believer because, it goes on to say, because we love the brothers. You could say because we love the church. Okay, being a Christian is synonymous with loving the church. You really can't have one without the other. And so may it be in our own hearts, as the psalmist says in Psalm 122, verse 1, says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" So when you wake up Sunday morning, do you think, "Oh, this is great, how great it is, let us go to the house of the Lord"? I have to say, sometimes as a pastor, I don't think that either. But my wife kicks me out of bed and said, "You're preaching this morning, you better go." But I think sometimes we just need to put this into perspective, and maybe we need to ask ourselves maybe some questions. And that is, do I delight in the church, which is so precious to God, as much as I delight in the football game on Sunday afternoon? Or do I delight in the church the way that I delight in my hobby? Or do I delight in the church as much as I do in other temporal things? And I'm not saying you shouldn't enjoy those things. But I'm just helping us think through, and I'm not trying to lay guilt on people because they enjoy those things, but to help think through, how passionate am I about Christ and the church in relationship to those other things? You see what I mean? And so may God help us to understand what those priorities are and what they should be. Okay, so that's corporate worship. The second is church relationships. And you say, well, what is that all about? I have plenty of church relationships. I have plenty of relationships within the church, and I think probably most of us do. I understand that. But what I'm talking about here is investing my life in the life of another for the purpose of spiritual growth and accountability. See, relationships are part of God's plan for you and I to effectively grow in our relationship with the Lord. We can't do it without each other. You say, well, where does the Bible say that? Well, let me give you a few examples. Love one another. John 13, 34 and 35. Bear one another's burdens, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Encourage one another, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Forgive one another, Colossians 3:13. Exhort one another, Hebrews 3:13. Pray for one another, James 5:16. Serve one another, Galatians 5:13. And I could go on. There's plenty of other one another's in the New Testament. But what I want you to understand here is that all of those things don't happen outside the context of having relationships with one another. And so we need to have relationships with one another in order for us to do the one another's well. And so it's getting to know one another, not just getting to know one another and our favorite sports team or our favorite restaurant or some of the temporal things that we have in common. And again, I'm not saying that you shouldn't know those things, but let's go beyond those things. Let's get into one another's lives so that we're actually in a position to encourage and exhort and bear the burdens and to love one another and to do all of those one another's for each other as Scripture calls us to. Just think for a minute, and I was just, this came to my mind this morning because of what I experienced. But when we get done with our Sunday morning worship service and you're dismissed and you walk out of the sanctuary and you begin to have conversations with each other, just think for a second, what do those conversations look like? What's the content of those conversations? And I say that because so often out of my own mouth comes small talk. And not that small talk's wrong, and sometimes it's actually appropriate, especially for somebody new. You just want to get to know some basic things about them and what they're interested in and why they're here and where they live and some of those things. But I think so often, maybe too often, and again, I'll just say this from my own personal experience, sometimes it's too often that it's just small talk. And this came to mind this morning because somebody came up to me after the service and was so engaged in the sermon, and they just wanted to come tell me all the things that they learned. And I thought, you know what? I need to do that a little bit better. I need to talk about some of the things that really matter, some of the things that the Lord's doing in my life, maybe what He's convicting me of, and share that with somebody. Or ask somebody what they learned, or, you know, that kind of thing. See, we need each other. And again, I think we forget that. I need the encouragement of other people. I need the comfort of other people. I need the prayers of other people. But if I don't have relationships with other people to that degree, I'm never going to experience those things. It was about 8 years ago, some of my family, we did some traveling to some of the national parks across the country, and one of the national parks that we went to was the Redwood Forest National Park in Northern California. How many of you have seen the Redwoods or been to the Redwoods? Okay. It's spectacular. These trees grow to 300 feet or more. They're considered to be the highest, tallest trees on earth. I was just looking up a few statistics, and it said that there's over 50 of those redwood trees that are now at least 360 feet tall, right there on the Pacific coast. And they grow so large, the diameter of them is 8 to 20 feet in diameter. Try to wrap your arm around one of those things. They say some of these redwoods are over 2,000 years old now. But what's fascinating about these big trees is that they don't fall down. What's even more interesting about these trees, especially considering coming off the Pacific and getting these ocean storms and winds that come across the redwoods, these trees only have a 6 to 12 foot root system. Amazing. And when you think about that, 6 to 12 feet of a root system for a 15 to 20 foot diameter tree going up 300 feet tall, how do you think that root system is going to hold that puppy up? You know what I mean? I mean, that's crazy. But what a lot of people don't know is that the root system extends sideways about 50 to 75 feet. And as these trees grow in groves, which is where you basically how you find redwoods, these root systems are intertwined with each other, so that when you get even 100 mile an hour wind, they're all hanging on to each other, and those trees aren't going anywhere. And it's not because one individual tree is strong enough to hold itself up. It's because all of these trees are bearing the burden, so to speak, with one another to actually sustain them. That's a perfect picture of what the body of Christ should look like. Because we're all going to face the trials of life. We're all going to face storms. We're all going to face difficulties. For all of us, our faith is going to be challenged. And in those times, I need you, and you need me, and we need each other to maybe comfort, to maybe encourage, to maybe exhort, to maybe pray for, or to maybe whatever the one another is that we need. But that's how we're to function as a body. So what do we do with this? I want to be practical with this too. My suggestion to you tonight would be to pursue getting to know one or two people that the Lord lays on your heart. And I don't want to push you in any particular direction. I want to encourage you to ask God to show you. And I think He will. Because everybody in this church has a need. Everybody's going through some kind of struggle and needs edification from the body. But what I also believe is that God has equipped us with the right people at this particular time to meet the current needs that we all have. And therefore, if we are all sensitive to what God would have us do and sensitive to the people who we should pursue, I think all of the needs get met by His grace, because He uses us in that way. So, I don't know who that person is. Maybe it's someone you perceive to be lonely. Maybe it's someone that stands out to you because of a particular need. Maybe it's someone that's new to the church. and needs to connect to the body. I think we all are sensitive to particular things, and that's good. That's good. That's what makes the body strong, I think. But when you find that individual, begin spending time with them. And I'm not suggesting that you need to meet once a week and you need to have a formal Bible study with them and you need to follow this program. No. Just get that whole concept of relationships out of your head. Those things are appropriate, and there's a time and place for that kind of stuff. But for the most part, our relationships are informal gatherings of us being in contact with one another and just caring and loving for one another. That's it. It's very simple. It's very informal. It takes on all kinds of avenues, whether it be a phone call, lunch, coffee, email, text, and yes, maybe Facebook. But then ask questions that matter. Ask questions that care for the soul. Maybe like, how are you doing? And maybe it will take time to get to this point. But to ask questions like, how are you doing spiritually? Where are you at with the Lord? What are some of your challenges that you're having lately? How can I pray for you? Okay, all of those are important eternal questions. And I think as you begin to get answers to those questions, you then have opportunities to speak into their life and to exercise the one another's. And the end result of that will be that you're helping them grow, but as you're helping them grow, you're growing along with them. Okay. So that's relationships. Let's go to number three. Learning opportunities. Let me just read some passages to you, and I think these will maybe speak for themselves. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Colossians 2:6-7. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Hebrews 5, verse 20, or verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And then Proverbs 23, verse 12. Apply your heart to instruction and your ear to the words of knowledge. Now, as you hear those verses, what's the common theme here? Might be a couple common themes. Keep trying to learn more. Good. Anything else?
Apply yourself.
Okay, good. Yeah. And obviously the Word of God is central to all of that, right? I think the bottom line here is we all need to grow. We all need to grow. And I think we have to realize that we're either growing or we're wilting. Somehow the phraseology has, I hear this in the church, and I don't know maybe where it came from. It probably came from decades ago, but the idea that we can ride the fence, spiritually speaking, it's just not a biblical concept. There's nowhere in Scripture that talks about people riding the fence. it's either one or the other. You're either on one side of the fence or you're on the other side of the fence. You're either growing or you're wilting. And if you're not intentionally feeding yourself, the byproduct of that will simply be you begin to wither up. It's not healthy. The fire cannot blaze without fuel. You can't have biblical zeal without knowledge. And I would go as far to say that actually zeal is dangerous without knowledge. Or at least a zeal for God is dangerous without knowledge. Romans 10 verse 2 says, "For I hear them witness that they have a zeal for God," but then he goes on to say, "but not according to knowledge." Okay, that's a dangerous zeal. And so we need to grow by learning. Actually, learning should characterize us as Christians. And actually, a disciple, by definition, is a learner. Learning characterizes a wise person. Let me give you a few references here. Proverbs 9 verse 9, "Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning." Proverbs 10 verse 14, "The wise lay up knowledge." Proverbs 18 verse 15, "An intelligent heart acquires knowledge and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." And then I found this verse interesting. We use it often, I think, but maybe don't think of it in this light. But Mark chapter 12, verse 30, again, a well-known verse that says, "You shall love the Lord your God," how? "With all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind." With all of your mind. You see, understanding and growing in our walk with the Lord requires a commitment with our own mind to learning who God is. Okay? So learning is synonymous with growth and godliness. You can't really have one without the other. And I think we understand that that's the goal, is to grow. And so if we want to grow, we've got to continue to learn. We've got to continue to feed ourselves. And again, let me just jump back here to the Acts 2:42 passage. It always has so much in it, but it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And again, yes, we need to do that as individuals. We need to be committed to the Word as individuals. We need to read the Word as individuals. But we're to also do that in a corporate context as the church as well. And so I want to just encourage you, look for those opportunities to grow corporately with one another. And I'm going to throw another plug in here for these core classes. It was great to see so many people in there this morning, but I'd love to see way more people in there because we all need to grow. I love what we're doing with these core classes. 4 years to cover subjects that I think all of us need to have a grip on. And if you don't have one of these, I there's some more brochures here, and it actually lists all of the core classes that we're going to be tackling over the next 4 years. Harmony of the Gospels, Biblical Theology, the Book of Ephesians, Exodus through Deuteronomy, Genesis, How to Study Your Bible, Overview of the Bible, Romans, and then under the Topical Studies, A Christian Worldview, Evangelism and Apologetics, Habits of Grace, which just is talking about how to grow as a believer, Married for God, dealing with marriage, church history, parenting, systematic theology, and what does the Bible say about work and money? And I look at those things and say, man, that's all of us need to have a solid foundation, biblically speaking, when it comes to all of that. So we've been very intentional as elders to put together classes over the next 4 years that we trust will be part of that foundation for all of us. I think if we were solid when it came to those areas, I think the church would look a whole lot different, don't you? And I think this is important because we live in a world where we hear so many voices, and so many of those voices are so contrary to what the Bible actually says. And therefore, and I go back to that Hebrews passage in chapter 10 or wherever it is, that says we need to be committed to the gathering even more so as the day approaches. As we get closer to the Lord returning, it's going to get more difficult and more difficult, and we're going to feel the pressure more and more and more. All the more reason that we need to be committed to learning and growing in the Lord in regard to those areas. And so we need to bathe ourselves, saturate ourselves with solid biblical teaching. And I'm not suggesting that core classes is the only place to do that, okay? Don't get me wrong. There's other places to do that as well. And you know, we're going to promote those things to you. But I think that's a great place to start. Obviously, being here is part of the Sunday morning. The corporate worship is part of that as well. Okay, so be committed to learning. Look for ways to do that and do that more consistently. And then the last area is the serving opportunities. And I won't say too much here, but Psalm 100 verse 2 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." I think we do that pretty good here. Doesn't mean we're there. Doesn't mean we do this perfectly. But I'm always thankful when I see Rothbury Community Church in action, when they see a need, they're very quick to respond to that need and serve one another. And so I just want to say that to be encouragement to you. But at the same time, we need to continue encouraging one another to serve. Okay? I think one thing is we talk about our need to worship God, but maybe we don't often equate that with serving. But to serve the Lord is to worship the Lord. Remember that. To serve the Lord is to worship the Lord. And I think we're all concerned about worshiping the Lord, but serving then should be part of that for us. What does that look like? Well, let me read a quote to you, and just, I think, puts things into more of a realistic perspective here. But a quote from Donald Whitney in one of his books, who says in regard to serving, he says, "The ministry of serving may be as public as preaching or teaching, but more often it will be as sequestered as nursery duty. It may be as visible as singing a solo, but usually it will go unnoticed as operating the sound equipment to amplify the solo. Serving may be as appreciated as a powerful testimony in a worship service, but typically it's as thankless as washing dishes after a church social, like tonight," right? Some of them are still in there probably doing that. And then he goes on to say, "Serving typically looks as unspectacular as the practical needs it seeks to meet." That's really serving. And serving so often goes under the radar. At least it goes under each other's radar, but it doesn't go under the radar of God. And that's, I think, what we need to remember. And I think the motivation to serve really is clear in Scripture. Hebrews 9, verse 14, it says, "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" You know, if nothing else, we should be motivated to serve the Lord in recognizing how he served us in sending his own son to die for us. There's probably nothing greater than that. So what do we do with this? Well, practically, let me just give you a few points to consider. Number one, remember that everybody has a gift. You may not recognize what yours is. You may even have concluded that you don't even have one, but that's not biblically accurate. You do. Everybody does. So my challenge to you is to figure out what it is by getting into the game. There's no better place to learn what God's called you to do than getting into the game and actually figuring that out. So start serving in areas if you're not doing that already. Ask yourself, what burdens you within church and its ministries? Secondly, find a way to serve with your gift on a regular basis. And again, that's going to look so different for all of us. I don't know if he's here tonight, but I'm gonna use this as an example, because it's one of these go under the radar things that someone has a burden to do, and nobody else does it, and it's just kind of cool. But how many of you have received some kind of a card in the mail from a guy named George Davis? A whole bunch of you. I remember the first time I got, I don't know if it was birthday or anniversary or whatever, Christmas, got something in the mail, and I, oh, that's nice. And then comes the next event in the year, we get another card, and then another event, here comes another card. It's like, whoa, I try to imagine how many cards this guy has in his house. I mean, he must have stacks of these things. But you know what? He's burdened to do that. He's doing it to serve the Lord, to be a blessing to the people of this church. It's a simple little thing. Nobody would even think about such a thing except George, probably. But praise the Lord that the guy does it. You know what I mean? And I always find that to be a great blessing to me. And you know what? That's his niche. You got your niche. You got the stuff you like to do. You got the, I mean, all of you have things that you're good at and would love to serve at. Do them and look for ways to be consistent in using those gifts for the Lord. Third thing I would just say as a matter of principle more than anything, and that is when you do serve, just serve the Lord. Just serve the Lord. Because I find, and I think you'll give testimony to this too, people take each other for granted, right? I take the most important people in my life for granted too often. And I think we end up taking each other for granted too often. That's just the reality of people. But that's why Scripture tells us, render service with goodwill as to the Lord and not to man. Okay? Our motive in serving is to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord. Because we're all going to go underappreciated. We're all going to be criticized even at times. But that's okay. As long as the Lord is pleased, as long as I'm serving Him, as long as I'm being obedient to Him, that's what ultimately counts. So let me just end things there. I think I've gone long enough. And we want to keep the promise of not going too long here tonight. Let's commit to growing together this year, shall we? And let's commit to growing together through our consistent gathering on Sundays. Let's commit to growing in our relationships with one another. Let's commit to growing by being part of the learning opportunities that are before us. Let's commit to growing as we commit to serving this body. And so I would just challenge you to pray for our church to that end. Because we all want to get there. We all want to do this. We all want to move together. And pray that people would catch a vision for these things. Not because we said them as elders, but because the Bible tells us that these are important. And that these are important ways for us to grow. And I think people will catch the vision as they see our example. As they see our example that are, as we commit to these very things ourselves. I think we all know we need to grow. But let's be intentional. And let's ask God to help us get there and to help us with these priorities. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for the church. Thank you, Lord, for this local body of believers that we are part of, have been committed to, that you've led us to by your sovereign grace. But Lord, sometimes it's good just to kind of rethink where we're at and to rethink our priorities as individuals and as a church. And Lord, as we're challenged with some of these things from your word and these important areas, I pray that you would just lay specific things on our own hearts tonight. First of all, Lord, I just pray that you'd give us a desire to grow. Give us a hunger to grow. Give us a hunger for your word. Give us a desire for godliness and righteousness. Give us a discontent with the things of this world so that we would pursue you above all things. And Lord, I pray for your protection on us as a church, that you would protect us from wandering away from these priorities, that we would be true to your word, and that we would be obedient to you, our Savior. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are, all that you've done for us, and for all that you will continue to be. In Jesus' name, amen.